the Studio A of Bob Total Country here. Allie Gray and the gang is leaving, and the four outdoorsmen are coming in. We got a couple of guests as well. Boomer's here. I'm here, Steve Strusinski. Mark Lukey is here. Bill Katz is here. And Boomer's, I mean, Mark's old man is here.
I'm here.
He just, he's not here for anything other than to brag about the Wisconsin Badgers.
Was there a football game yesterday?
There was a football game.
I've already forgot about
it. The old man is a cheesehead, 100%. Boy, he's a diehard Badgers fan. But it was a lot of fun, and it is what it is. Thanks, you guys. Hey, take care of yourself. I'm looking forward to your next Christmas album, whatever it is. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care. Good to have you in the studio. Allie Gray, congratulate you, everybody. Well, welcome, everybody. Okay, again, it's Stu Man here. Boomer, what's up, pal?
It was a good game on the second play. And then after that, look at Lukey's dad over there just smiling. He's got his Badger gear on.
Is there anyone more Badger than my dad? He just lives and breathes in Wisconsin. I'll tell you, we are at a Badger pre-party, and he said, hold my beer. I'm going to go get some more cheese. And I looked at my wife, and I said, have you ever heard anything more Wisconsin in your life?
I was really hoping that they let me haul that big X back to Madison, but they wouldn't let me put it in my SUV.
Now the key, though, if you were at a Badger pre-party, Papa Luke, did they have any brandies there for you?
They did.
They did. Really?
All the free beer you could drink and cheese, and it was fun.
Now, before last week, we were talking about you guys going to this pre-party in the football game, and I had the over and under set for how many beers Mark would drink, and I said it was going to be under. I said the over under was 11. Did you go over or under?
It was under.
Was it under?
Yeah. It was under.
You surprised yourself.
It was under because Nick had practiced before, so we didn't get to the pre-party right away.
Oh.
And so I chugged about 4 or 5 beers, and then we rode a light rail that took about an hour to get downtown. I've never been so close to going to the bathroom in my pants.
I've never seen him jump around like that before.
It was an emergency, straight up emergency. So I made it.
It looked like on TV when they were doing the college game day stuff, Strew. It looked like it was just an explosive environment of maroon and gold.
Yeah, I would say that we won the pre-party, but we lost the game. That's what I like to say.
Well, Corso did pick the Gophers.
That's the curse, the Corso curse.
It is the curse, of course. Now, Strew, you got big plans, right?
Hey,
it was cold, and it was a blizzard yesterday, but you're going somewhere warm, aren't you?
I'm heading to Arizona tomorrow morning with my buddy Dan Boris, Bob Krejci, and Wade Ryan, and Mark knows them all. You've met a couple of the guys as well. And I just can't wait. I'm so excited. You know, it's the 1st or 2nd of December, and I'm already tired of winter. And all you hard water guys, I'll be on your side. I'll go when I gotta go.
Well, you know what's happening this weekend.
I know it's the St. Paul Ice Show.
Yeah, the Super Bowl of ice fishing. Yeah,
I'm gonna stop down there, sneak. I'll be back Thursday night, so we'll be able to sneak down there for sure. As a matter of fact, somebody we gotta see when we go down there, Mark M. Boomer, is one of our earlier guests 4 or 5 years ago with a young man on the show named Colt Ringer. Remember Colt Ringer?
Yeah, lives Colt. In Minnetonka, involved in youth fishing.
He was one of these guys, and there's so many volunteers and so many people who give back to the industry and to the public, the vets and all of that. And Colt Ringer, somehow I found out that he works with a lot of kids and volunteers weeks on end in the summer to help kids learn how to fish. And so we had him in studio.
Yep.
I'm at a hockey game this morning in Edina for my 9-year-old granddaughter, Clara, and some guy walks up and says, hey, Strewman, it was Colt Ringer. He recognized me from a couple of years back, and it was fun to talk to him. And so, Colt, if you're listening, hey, thanks for reaching out. I'm glad to see you. And he just is now the new owner of the AquaView underwater cameras, I think is what it is, right? AquaView?
Yeah, he owns that now?
Yeah.
Like he bought a unit?
He bought it two weeks ago.
Or he owns the company?
He owns the company.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so he just didn't buy an AquaView.
No. No, he owns the company.
Thinking. Awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
He owns the company 2 weeks ago, so I'm proud of you, pal, and good to see you, and thanks for working out with the kids. So, yeah, I'm excited about that, but how was your weekend? What's going on with you,
pal? You know what? The weekend was great. I kind of sort and segregated all the ice fishing stuff, because as the land of 10,000 lakes knows, happy Sunday evening, we're making ice. We're making a lot of ice. So safety first. But, you know, just got the clam ice armor suit out, the flip house, got the K-drill, the Vexlar's all charged up, and getting really excited because the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, I mean, that brings in, what, 30 to 50,000 people? That's right around the corner, Strew, so we'll all be there kind of walking around, maybe do some call-ins. But speaking of ice fishing, we got one heck of a show about ice fishing today, don't we?
We do.
We got Mr. Bill Katz from Katz Covers. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Thanks, Boomer.
We'll be talking to you in one of the breaks. And then the man, the myth, the legend, Lukey's favorite.
Ooh, Jason.
Jason Mitchell is in the house.
He was, so the story never ends about how excited I was to meet Jason Mitchell. But when we first went to Devil's Lake, he was one of the first, like, it was before I worked at Ranchera, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of the first, like,
5 years ago,
TV personalities I've ever met in person, right? Yeah. So yeah. I was pretty excited. So the guys give me a lot of crap that I wanted my picture taken.
I don't.
But
no, not at all.
I still have a bruise on my left thigh from you knocking me out of the photograph. So, but I'll be all right. I'll be
Hey,
all
he
right.
bought us lunch. Remember
he
that?
He did, yeah.
That was pretty special.
No, Jason's going to be on at 6:20. Talk about early ice. Talk about Devil's Lake. What's happening with Jason Mitchell outdoors and all of that. Yep. Good guy. And if you guys love ice fishing at all, you want some tips, Jason Mitchell is the man. And we're going to learn a lot tonight with Jason Mitchell at about 6:20.
Yeah, it should be fun. Mark, we got any shout-outs?
Yeah, we got a lot of shout-outs coming. And I did also ask a bunch of people to send in questions for Jason. So you guys remind me on a couple of those. If you want to get on the show or get mentioned, go to the Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page. That's the number 4 Outdoorsmen. And comment on the shout-out picture. I got a couple here I'll get through. Corey Johnson said, guys, weekend celebrating a successful deer hunt and past jumbo perch bite, venison heart, tenderloin, and perch. That sounds like an awesome, awesome dinner. Corey Bechtold says, what's working now? I posted a video about noodle rods. What does Jason Mitchell prefer panfish for panfish in his rod lineup? Jordan Dahl says, Lake Mille Lacs area is starting to pop off. He has a great picture of a panfish there. Let's see what else we got. A couple more questions for Jason. And Scott Olsnack says, have you guys ever used hot dogs on tip-ups for Northerns? Have you ever done it, Bill?
Can't say as I have.
You ever done it, Boomer?
You know, I joke about it, but I don't think I've actually done it.
I can see why it would work, right?
It wouldn't work for you because the hot dog would be gone before it got on the hook. Never make the water,
in Wisconsin,
pal.
You have to use a cheese broth. Yeah.
It would be a Johnsonville.
You know, it stinks. No, it looks like meat.
Oscar Mayer.
That's Oscar right. Meyer. We know where your loyalty ties back to, Papa Lukey.
Mr. Lukey was, he worked for Oscar Mayer for many, many, many years. And I told Mark this, maybe a month or two ago, but we have a place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. We're driving by the grocery store. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile was right there in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. And you're the first person I thought of. So.
Did you ever get to drive the Wienermobile?
No, but I rode in it several times. It's really fun. Everybody waves at you, and it's really fun. I was hoping on the last day after 38 years with them that I could ride it to work, and the guy that managed the Wienermobile lived a block away from me, but it was out of town, so I had to drive myself in.
I tell you what, if I would have been your son for my senior prom, I would have really positioned hard to drive the Wienermobile.
Well, Dad told me about a position where two guys and two girls travel the country for a year as Wienermobile drivers. So I thought about applying for that because I was going into marketing.
You would have had to beat maybe 50, 60. Oh.
It was 2,000 applicants.
Oh, 2,000.
Yep. So
that's for 6 different Wienermobiles, no less. There's segregated in 6 different areas of the country. And there's 4 people assigned to it for a year. And they're almost all marketing graduates, that type of thing. And then they can stay on with the company if they want, if they do a good job.
Is there any way that we could drive that as the Four Outdoorsmen to the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show?
We could put some holes in the bottom.
Park right out front.
Yeah.
Could we put some holes in the bottom and ice fish out of that thing? That'd be awesome.
Ooh, that would be
the only job I got with my dad and Oscar Mayer was testing. Can you believe that? Yeah, I'd go in and they'd make a new product for kids, and they'd be like, and I would test these products, and
you
see
would,
if I
you would
them.
Eat the products.
Yeah, I would eat the products, right? I guess they thought I would be a good candidate for that, but that's the only job I ever got. My sister Lisa worked for Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, she worked 5 years in the she research
shoveled,
department while she's going to school.
Shoveled rotten hot dogs. They would see how long they could last. Her job was shoveling rotten hot dogs for a whole summer.
And she's in great shape still.
Hey, any controversy today, Stu? Anything in the newspaper or Mark? Anything? Any
hot
topics?
Well, I saw deer harvest was down 7% this year.
I did see that too.
So everyone's always got their hypothesis on that. So what do you guys think? Why was deer hunting harvest down 7% this year.
In Minnesota, it should not have been down 7% because the rut was right about at the right time, from what I understand. I don't have an answer for that. I don't have a clue.
What's your best guess?
I would say fewer licenses were purchased in 2019.
I would say that I don't know, Stru, if I'm on board with the timing of the rut this year, for the pure fact that this is one of the first years, and I got out there three times, three different weekends, one for Sophie's youth opener, and then got out there, you know, the opening of firearm opener, and then the second weekend, because I'm in a two-weekend zone, and I didn't see any rubs or any scrapes. Now, the spike my dad shot was obviously in rut because you could, you know, they have that smell and the urine that comes down on the glands. I mean, but I didn't see a lot of scrapes or rubs, so that was kind of surprising. And the weather might have played into it a little bit. I know on opening weekend that Saturday that the weather was perfect. But on that Sunday of opening weekend, boy, the wind was blowing. And at least on our land up north, when that wind is steady at 20 miles an hour and gusts up to 40, those deer are just going to sit in the pines and not move. And then the second weekend that we had, the weather was a little suspicious too because it was fairly windy on Saturday and Sunday too. So my guess is I don't know about the licenses. I'm not sure about the rut, but I think the weather could have came into play.
Mark,
too.
Your thoughts. And I've got a.
I'm
going to
defer to Bill because
well.
I know he's a deer hunter. Bill, what do you think?
Well, I hunt right up by you, Boomer, and that's Saturday was perfect. Saturday was beautiful. Sunday didn't stay in the stand too long just because it was cold and it was too noisy in the woods. And just from being a little kid, Dad always said, if it's windy and like the weather was that day, they're going to be sitting because they can't hear what's coming around
them.
Okay,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That was kind of the same thing that we thought, too.
Now, even though we were 7% down in the state of Minnesota, did you read that Wisconsin was down after the first week, was down about 24% overall and over 30% fewer bucks during the first week as compared to 2018. Yes, sir.
Guys, I got to tell you, the first year in 55 years, I didn't go deer hunting this year. My brother was in my deer stand. Within the first hour, he got a 10-point buck. And a half hour after that, his grandson got a 6-pointer.
That's so wonderful.
That was
That's
awfully right. kind.
You would have been
of,
napping yeah. anyway, Pop.
Hey, there was some controversy in Wisconsin, though, because the Wisconsin deer hunting season is always the weekend of Thanksgiving. That's when it opens up. It has been forever and ever. Yep, it's tradition for many, many years. This year, since Thanksgiving was so far back, some hunters tried to petition to have the opener a week or two prior to coincide with the rut. And the DNR said, and the state of Minnesota said, nope, it is what it is. It's going to stay as it is. We're not going to change just because of that. And they didn't. And as a result, a lot of hunters are disappointed.
Well, I got a topic for you guys to weigh in on because every year, you know, you can debone the deer yourself and you can ground up your own sausage like you did, Mark, with your neighbor. But timing is something you need to do that, right? And I didn't have a lot of time this year. So I usually bring one of the deer in to get processed so we can do some kind of bacon, some sausage, beef sticks. I called, I'm not going to give their names, three different places I used to take my deer to. And they either weren't accepting deers this year, or it was they had their quota and they filled their quota on the first weekend. Why do you guys think that is? One of them said it was just trying to get the help, get the labor.
Yeah, I think that the small town butcher shop is kind of fading away, unfortunately. You know, and a lot of the guys can't make it from just deer hunting. So yeah, it's unfortunate, but it's getting harder. I will say that a lot more people around here process their own meat than even like when I'm used to hunting in Wisconsin. But I do have to note about the summer sausage I made did not turn out so great.
Oh,
too bad. So I mean, 27 pounds of summer sausage. And my good friend Jim, who was on the show, and I ground it up and everything. And I think that we just didn't have enough fat in it. It was just too grand. My dad's a sausage expert.
Guess what I'm going to get for Christmas
present?
There you go. 25 pounds of summer sausage.
So it's edible, but it wasn't fantastic because it was too dry and crumbly.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Stru?
About what? About the sausage?
No.
About what?
Finding a butcher to process the deer.
I haven't hunted deer for the last couple of years, but boy, Stasny's Meat Market was my place for many, 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 many years. And I can't picture them this time of the year not taking any more orders or not having enough help.
The place I've always taken it to said they hit their quota on the first weekend.
It's unheard of.
And then the second place said they're just not doing it this. And these are reputable names. I'm not going to bash that. It was just a business decision. Right. You ever heard of something like this?
No, because we've always processed our own. Past few years, we've been going up north, up by where we hunt.
Yeah.
And we'll take our deer down there, and we've always been 1 through 10, let's say.
Yeah.
And so within the first few hours, they'll call us back, your deer's done. They're done like that.
Wow.
And, you know, not far from, like I said, up in that area.
How do you say that county? Lac-la-Parle? Lac-la-Parle. Okay, is back in the news. Did you read the same of the outdoor news?
No.
Earlier, last year earlier this spring that there was, and I'm sure that the Beerfax and Fishtails will talk about it as well, because Mark and Larry, well, they're like us. They steal a lot of the guests right out of the outdoor news. But there were two farmers who had 240 acres, and they wanted to sell to the DNR for CRP land. Is that what it's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And
do they sell it or they lease
they
it?
They lease it.
So the farmers and the DNR agreed, and the county shut them down and said, you're not going to do it. And they're two private entities, like families, who want to sell or lease property to each other, and the county says, no, you can't do it. And they were concerned about the hunter's reputation, about trashing the area, too many vehicles coming in, too much noise, maybe danger of the weapons, whatnot. And they stopped it.
The county did. I don't see how the county could have that.
Well, I'll tell you, the county, so anyway, what's happening here is that, of course, the farmers are upset, the hunters are upset, and the state of Minnesota, well, the state itself probably is upset. But here's what's going on. The farmer has hired an attorney, and he wants to sue the county, I believe, to make this thing go over. How can they determine whether or not you can lease or sell your property to somebody else?
Don't the counties have a pretty big weigh-in when it comes to local fisheries, too? Didn't we have a guest on that one time that talked about like how the DNR makes recommendations for certain lakes, but the county itself can kind of supersede that.
Kind of like the lake boards or whatever.
Yeah, and not allow musky stocking, for an example. Yeah. So I don't know how they have that much power, but I've never heard of something
now,
like that.
Now, the public, on the other hand, is upset. From some people have voiced the opinion that they're upset with the DNR for not being harder and pushing for this as well. And it's up to the homeowners or the landowners. They're the ones that have hired the attorneys, apparently, to sue to make sure, to see if this thing can go through. I don't understand how that can happen.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But that's happening, and there's controversy. What do you got, Mark?
1 minute left till break.
All right. And what happens? he raised, either he's got to go to the bathroom again because he's on the light rail, or there's 1 minute
needs
left
permission.
To break. Well, yeah, you guys talk. I've got to go to Brandon and give him the phone number of
Jason
Mitchell.
All right. So next we're going to have Jason Mitchell on. We're going to talk ice fishing, early ice tips. After that, at 6:40, we're going to have Bill Katz talk on about Katz Covers, which has been around for 8 years, and it's growing like a weed, helping people ice fish all over the country. Stay tuned next to the 4 Outdoorsmen on Bob Country.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the 4 Outdoorsmen anytime.
The Devil's Lake Secret has been out for many, many years. It's one of the top 5 fisheries in this country and is just waiting for you to make memories. Devil's Lake just might be the jumbo perch capital of the world. And now is the time to book your trip by going to devilslakend.com. There's great hotels, great eateries, great fishing, and a package deal to fit anybody who loves catching walleyes and perch through the ice. Hey, Devil's Lake, exciting, unique, and a superb ice fishing experience for the whole family. Book your memories now, devilslakend.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with 3 locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at 3 locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Are you tired of losing your valuables down your ice fishing hole? Well, our friend Bill Katz of BK Outdoors LLC and creator of Katz Covers has a simple and inexpensive solution. Katz Covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. You can order directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Need an ice shelter for the whole crew this season? Take your pick from Clam Outdoors. The X-Series portable hub shelters are built for the angler that demands performance. Featuring heavy-duty poles and more insulation, the X-Series was born for extreme conditions. Or choose the economical C-Series for the casual angler and weekend warriors. Affordable and durable, the C-Series have the quality you need. C-Series or X-Series. Choose the hub shelter that's right for you at clamoutdoors.com.
Hey folks, it's Neil Freeman here, and it's that time. Time to get on the bus and head for Ballard's Resort for the Bob FM annual ice fishing trip. Once again this year, I'll be hosting the trip. It's January 26th through the 28th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and once again this year, one price gets it all done. You get round-trip coach transportation, two nights lodging, 2 days guided ice fishing, seven meals, all your angling equipment, fish cleaning, sales and lodging tax, all included, for just $470 per person. Just contact Ballard's Resort for all the details and get signed up. Again, the dates are January 26th through the 28th. We're headed to Ballard's Resort on Lake of the Woods to catch a whole bunch of fish and have a great time. Won't you join me? Go to ballardsresort.com, ballardsresort.com, or call 800-776-2675. We sell out every year, so get your friends together now and join me for the Bob FM ice fishing trip to Ballard's Resort, January 26th through the 28th.
Dell has announced their biggest Black Friday ever with some of the lowest prices of the year, offering you up to 50% off top brand electronics like Samsung TVs. You'll also get massive deals on Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors, plus free shipping on everything. For the gamer, streamer, or student, Dell has you covered. Just call 800-BUY-DELL or go to dell.com/Black Friday. That's 800-BUY-DELL.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson paid for by the Sentinel Group. Attention military vets and current soldiers who served between 2002 to 2016. Have you or a loved one suffered hearing loss or tinnitus after serving or while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces? You may be entitled to compensation. 3M, the manufacturer of earplugs made for combat, recently paid the government $9.1 million to settle a False Claims Act case for knowingly selling these defective earplugs. If you or a loved one suffered hearing loss due to defective earplugs, call us now for a free case review. Call 800-590-4514. That's 800-590-4514.
Hey, we're back on the Four Outdoorsman. Strewman here, Boomer, Bill Katz, Papa Lukey's here, Mark Lukey's here, Brandon behind the glass. And we've got a special guest, Jason Mitchell's on the air. Jason, welcome to the Four Outdoorsman one more time.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. You betcha. No, it's fun. Jason Mitchell's, everyone knows who we are, who love the outdoors, obviously, so the introduction is not as critical as it used to be maybe 10, 15 years ago. But Jason is in Devil's Lake right now. I imagine you're at home right now in Devil's Lake, correct?
Yeah, actually, I was just out deer hunting. Muzzleloader season opened up today, so just driving home from that. So.
Any luck, Jason? Hey, it's Boomer. You see any deer tonight?
No, just does. I haven't been seeing many bucks, so I don't know what's going on.
Now, are you guys getting that snow system, that storm system that blew in here in Minnesota yesterday and still kind of hanging around today?
Yeah, we had a lot of snow on Saturday. Well, you know, maybe, I don't know, 5 to 8 inches of snow. And a little bit of slippery roads. So.
Hey, Jason, we're going to talk about ice fishing, of course, in a couple of seconds here. But since you brought it up, deer hunting, we were talking deer hunting before we got to you during the first break. We always BS a lot. Minnesota was down about 7% this year, deer hunting. Wisconsin is down about 25% over the first 7 to 10 days. What are the reports in North Dakota?
You know, it's hard to tell. You know, our deer rifle licenses are down. But, you know, if you look on social media, there's some really nice deer getting shot. And so, I think our numbers are down, obviously, compared to, say, the highs from 5 to 10 years ago. But, you know, all you need is one. Right?
No, that's all you need. You're
all
right,
you need is one. Yeah, yeah. Well, Jason, we did something. We did something kind of fun with your interview tonight. We actually threw out on social media folks that would have questions for you pertaining to ice fishing, and we got some pretty good engagement on that. But before we jump into that, what's new with Jason Mitchell Outdoors TV?
Well, we're filming already. We're editing. We're airing shows right now. And we just got done filming on Lake Audubon, which is in west central North Dakota, part of the Missouri River Impoundment. And just getting that edited here will pop up on YouTube here this week. And then I've been fishing just around Devil's Lake. So.
Jason, what's the ice conditions like right now in Devil's Lake?
Well, like Irving and Alice, you know, some of the backwater areas north of Highway 2, you know, there's goodness 8, 9, maybe 10 inches of ice in place.
Wow.
But then there's places where there's less, you know, and Creel Bay, East Bay is froze over, the Midwaukee Flats, Pelican Lake's got ice, but there's still open water out of the main lake. So, you know, it really varies. There's some areas where there's pretty good ice, and there's some areas that are pretty sketchy.
Jason, how would you compare this year's ice at this time versus last year's ice in kind of the Midwest?
Oh, I don't know. I can't even remember 3 days ago.
good answer.
I'm out doing this a lot. It's like, yeah, people were, hey, how was the fishing last week? Like, I don't know. What day is it today? No, it was an early ice up. I remember, you know, being able to walk on a lot of the bigger sloughs, you know, end of October. You know, and so it's one of the earliest years I've been able to get out as far as getting out on some of the small lakes. I mean, I've been ice fishing now for, I don't know, so it's December 1st today. Early November I was ice fishing. You know, so.
You're smarter than most of the fishermen out there. We've already lost one person in the state of Minnesota who went under someplace in northern Minnesota by Ely. And the last couple of shows of yours I saw, one was on Devil's Lake about walleyes. The other one was someplace around Detroit Lakes. And both times we had your clam ice armor float suit on. I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? I wear picks and throw rope. And, you know, biggestly just having a spot bar and checking the ice as you go and don't assume anything, you know. It's not a contest. We're going to get plenty of winter in Minnesota. You know? We're going to have plenty of ice and plenty of cold. So you got to be safe and do it right.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, can you go over... It's great to have a spud bar and check ice, but can you kind of go over the process on how you check? Do you just go every couple feet, or what's the best way to stay safe with a spud bar when you're checking out an area?
Well, you know, when I'm checking out an area and I don't know much about it, I mean, a lot of times I'm going to walk out, you know,
right.
And basically with a spud bar, you know, if you hit the ice hard and it doesn't go through or water doesn't come up, you know, it's going to typically support your wave because you're over 2 inches, you know. And if you hit the ice twice in the same spot and water comes up, you know, you're looking at right around 4 inches. And so that's the thing, you know, hit the ice as you walk ahead. And, you know, that way if you do get into a bad spot, you know, back out, come out the same way you came in, you know. But, you know, just little things, you know, even having a GPS sometimes, having a plot trail. So that way if you're walleye fishing and it's after dark, you know, you don't have to guess. Come off the same way you came on. A lot of times, you know, we're not going out very far either, you know. Just use common sense. You know, I like to catch fish as much as anybody, but there's some places I'm not going to now because I'm worried about the ice, you know. And I'll give her another week or two, and then I'll start venturing out some of those places. But, just being diligent. Don't assume anything.
Right,
right. Well, Jason, we're going to start rattling off some of our listeners' questions to you because we got quite a few. So thank you to our listeners. I'm going to try to get to them all. One of them is a mutual friend, Jason, Corey Bechtold, and he said, what does Jason Mitchell prefer for panfish in his rod lineup?
Well, it depends. Whatever I have to use. I don't have any attachments. I mean, a lot of times I'll start out like with a meat stick or a dead meat rod, which is a glass rod with a really sanded down tip. Really soft, so you can watch the bite. But, you know, there's times where the bite's too light for that. I have to, you know, switch up to a spring bobber. I've seen other times where, you know, say you're on a good bite or you need a little bit of a harder pound on a jig, especially over open water where just a straight-up graphite rod will work, you know. And so basically, you know, I'll try one thing, and if I feel like I'm rolling or missing fish, I don't like my batting average, I'll change until I'm getting a good batting average that I'm happy with. you know. And so that's the biggest thing, is distinguishing the bites and hooking up, you know. But, you know, there's no – I think it's foolish with fishing whenever you think, yeah, one thing is the end all. I mean, because sooner or later you fish enough where you come in a situation where, you know, there's always different ways and better ways depending on where you're at, what the fish are doing.
Yep.
Next question.
Yeah, Tyler Horner wrote, Jason, what is your go-to bait set up when rattle reel fishing for northerns?
Well, goodness, I mean, Dacron line, you know, just so you can handle a fish easier. And, you know, I've started using a lot more fluorocarbon versus steel, titanium, as far as the leader material. And depends on where you're at. I mean, there's some fisheries that really set up good for dead baits, whether it's frozen herring or smelt or sardines, tulipies, and, you know, just tying a quick strike rig right on the fluorocarbon leader. A lot of them use like a 40-pound fluorocarbon leader. In the same setup, you know, if you watch it, you use a big chub or a sucker minnow too, depending on where you're at. But I've been using just heavy fluorocarbon. It's cheap. You can tie it yourself. You know, and I'm spacing two, either number six or number four trebles, you know, 4 to 6 inches apart, depending on the size of the bait.
All right. Terry Lee Kaufman wrote in and said, what length ice rod do you use the most?
What kind of ice rod?
What length of ice rod do you use the most?
Oh, I use the longest rod I can usually. I mean, if I'm sight fishing, obviously I'm using a short rod, 16, 17 inches. But if I'm fishing off my snowmobile or walking around outside hole to hole, a lot of times I'm using a 30 or even a 36-inch rod. And, you know, it depends on what I'm fishing for, too. With panfish or if I'm on a tough bite, finesse, a lot of times I'm using a shorter rod just to keep that rod tip closer to my eyes. But I always joke, you know, I use the longest rod I can get away with. I feel it gives me a little bit more versatility with the backbone if I get a big fish on. So.
Yep. And then, you know, Jason, it seems like I'll get to the next question, but it seems like even in the open water world, that the length of rods continues to get longer and longer, and boats are now acclimated to that, to have those longer rods. What? Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, people are fishing out of a 20-foot boat now with a gunwale. You know, when you're fishing out of a 14-foot boat or a 16-foot boat, you're sitting at a water level, you know, it's harder, you know, to use a longer rod. But, you know, these boats, you know, they're getting bigger, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're using longer rods. You know, even like musky fish, you do a figure eight now, you know, you can't do it with a 7-foot rod with as high as these decks are on these boats. You know, you got to have a longer rod.
Yeah, and then Scott Olzenek wrote in, what is Jason's go-to jig?
For what?
Well, let's open-ended. So
let's Devil's Lake Jumbo Perch.
Oh, goodness, I don't know. I mean, I use a lot of stuff. I mean, I love tungsten, the small profile tungsten horizontal jigs. On tough bites, I love the half ants, you know, a vertical teardrop style jig. You know, I'm talking panfish, you know, crappies. A lot of times on Devil's Lake, I'm using small spoons with a dropper, small spoons with a treble hook. It just depends on what I'm doing. You know, I'm not really a big, you know, a lot of times I'll have 4 or 5 lures on me, and you know, I don't even bring a lot of tackle with a lot of times when I'm fishing. I'd rather like to focus on being in the right place at the right time. I can use the wrong jig, but if I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, it doesn't matter if I'm using the right jig.
Well, that's well said. Yeah, that's well said.
I just worry about getting on fish. You know, I find I catch them a lot of different ways if I get on fish.
Well, hey, Scott just wrote in to clarify, as he heard you ask for what species. He said crappies. What's your go-to jig for crappies?
Well, I tell you what, if I had to just pick one, just a, like a drop kick or a drop XL, you know, I like that wider gap hook, and tungsten with a soft plastic Mackie. I mean, that's most days. I mean, that's going to do it. So.
Hey, Jason Strewman here. I got a couple of questions as well. You don't do many lakes, fish many lakes probably that you haven't fished before, but if you do fish lakes that you've never been to before, what kind of research do you do before you get on that body of water, even open water or hard water?
Well, I try to find somebody that knows a lot more than I do, and I call them.
Good answer.
Well, I like you. That's a good one. No Google Maps, none of that stuff, huh?
Well, you know, you got your GPS map, you got your Vexlar, you got your cell phone. Those are the three things you need. So.
One more question. Nick Fairbanks, a friend of ours, a friend of the show for a long, long time, asked me to ask you if what to give him some tips for North Metro crappies. Do you, in the Metro Lakes, do you fish Metro Lakes different than you do lakes like Devil's Lake or out in the, you know, far out from the cities? Metro Lake crappies.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with, you know, Metro Lakes, obviously, there's a lot more people, you know, and there's just a lot more people fishing. And, you know, especially, you know, you get over the classic crappie holes, for example, the wintering holes, there's going to be all kinds of people, there's going to be all kinds of hard-sided houses, and, you know, there's fish out there, but a lot of times it's harder to find the big. What I find with Metro Lakes is go up shallow in the weeds, find the thickest, densest, tallest weeds you can, and really, you know, tear those weeds apart. Use an underwater camera if you have to learn more, you know, about those weeds. But that's my favorite thing to do as far as finding the bigger fish is go up in those shallow weeds, because a lot of times, a lot of anglers just don't like the fish weeds.
Yeah, let's talk about Devil's Lake. That's your hometown, your home lake, and all that kind of good stuff. But the last couple of shows that I've seen you, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, fishing Devil's Lake, you apparently are thinking that the walleye fishing is better now than it has been ever. Is that what you're finding? Not only the numbers, but the size?
You know, what I find is that, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and it's been good for a long time. And there's been so many years where then, golly, you know, it's good fishing, you know, and you think, boy, it's going to slow down or it's not going to be as good. And, I mean, it just never fails to disappoint. I wouldn't say it's better, but it's as good, you know. And I can't tell you how many times I go, boy, it can't get any better. Then the next year you get on a run, they go, wow. You know, I mean, there's some really good fishing on that place.
You
lots
know,
of fish.
Jason, I know one of your favorites is waterfall hunting, you know, and I know that's a big passion of yours. Did you get out and chase some mallards out in Devil's Lake this year?
Yeah, I did. You know, it was a different year, though. We had so much rain and snow. It was hard to get out in the fields. It was hard to get down the roads, even. A lot of the crops didn't get combined. A lot of the corn, you know, it's just getting combined now. And so, yeah, we shot some ducks, but it was a different year with a lot of challenges.
So what upcoming shows do you have coming up now? When the ice fishing starts going on, Jason Mitchell Outdoors, talk about a few of your shows coming up. We've got 3 minutes left with you, buddy.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so it's December 1st. Oh, man. You should ask my editors this. I'm kind of the fisherman. They're the... Let's see here. What do we got going? I can't even tell you, to be honest. I've been fishing, hunting, and I don't know. I hope they're good.
I love it.
I'm going to ask you one more question. Hey, Jason, we got a couple minutes. I'm going to ask you one more question. You fished Devil's Lake your entire life, and we're going to be out there in January, probably try to hook up with you and buy you a beer January 26th,
27th.
We're going to be out there. But if you had just 1 month, you could choose only 1 month to fish Devil's Lake, whether it's hard water or open water, what would you choose?
You know, everything I tell you is going to be honest, because every month, there could be 10 really great days, 10 terrible days, and 10 okay days all through the year. And I remember, you know, early on thinking, oh, late ice, March, that's prime time, right? Well, not always. I mean, sometimes you have a late winter, you've got blizzards. I mean, you just never know. And so, you know, when we were guiding, you know, we had to be out there every day. Some days were good, some days were not so good. But I would always tell people, this is the most honest thing I can tell you, is just come when it's convenient for your schedule. Come when you can, because you never know how things are going to shake out. The fish could be good all winter. Yeah. As far as how you land on it, you just never know. So just, you know, fish every chance you can, and you're going to get some good days and some not so good days. But as far as the calendar period, yeah, it's like trying to say, when's it going to rain next summer?
Yeah. You know, this, I'm pretty impressed. We finally found an honest fisherman. So that's the kind of guest we want to have. Go ahead, Bomber.
Hey, Jason, we got 1 minute left. Can you share with our listeners where they can find you social media-wise, digitally-wise, YouTube, and when your show airs and all that good jazz?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, find us on YouTube. You know, a lot of people watch our show on YouTube. Just search Jason Mitchell Outdoors. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. Again, search Jason Mitchell Outdoors. We'll pop right up. Fox Sports North down in your area, 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings.
Cool. Well, there he was, the man, the myth, the legend, out in Devil's Lake, North Dakota, Jason Mitchell. Jason, thanks again for being a friend of the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right.
We'll see you in January, friend. We'll give you a call, all right?
All right, looking forward to it.
Take care, Jason. Thanks
a
lot.
Cool. What a great man. If you caught the tail end of that interview, make sure you check out our podcast, which usually comes out
on Tuesday.
Yep. So make sure you catch that interview with Jason Mitchell. But up next, Bill Katz with Katz Covers, talking some more ice fishing with the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Country.
Devil's Lake, rated one of the top five fisheries in all of America. It's grown from 70,000 acres to 160,000 acres plus in the last 40 years or so, and that's nearly unlimited opportunities. Ice fishing is now, and Devil's Lake is well known for its jumbo perch, plenty of walleyes for you to keep, five per day, as a matter of fact, with 10 in possession, and listen closely, there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake, every angler's dream come true. Hey, trust Drew Man on this one. Check it out at devilslakend.com.
Need an ice shelter for the whole crew this season? Take your pick from Clam Outdoors. The X-Series portable hub shelters are built for the angler that demands performance. Featuring heavy-duty poles and more insulation, the X-Series was born for extreme conditions. Or choose the economical C-Series for the casual angler and weekend warriors. Affordable and durable, the C-Series have the quality you need. C-Series or X-Series. Choose the hub shelter that's right for you at clamoutdoors.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit PowerLodge.com to learn more.
Happy Sunday evening to the land of frozen 10,000 lakes. If you've been out or poked your head out the window or been driving around, you can see that the lakes are starting to freeze up. And the Four Outdoorsmen, we don't go anywhere without our Vexlars. Right, Producer Mark?
That's right. I've been fishing with an FLX 28 for 2 years, and I will never fish with anything else, and I will never leave the house going ice fishing without my Vexlar.
It's just amazing how long the battery lasts on the FLX 28 and the complete lineup of Vexlar, which spins around for 60 years. It can pick up those walleyes as they're sitting in on the bottom when you can zoom in on the bottom 6 feet and on the bottom 12 feet. And the K-Drill is another great invention that's been out there for a couple years. When it's connected to your 18-volt brushless cordless drill, it weighs less than 10 pounds and gets over 300 to 400 inches of ice on a single charge. To learn more about Vexlar or K-Drill, go to Vexlar.com.
I'm Mary Jo Copeland. Sharing and Caring Hands is in its 36th year of helping people in need thanks to your generosity. Many people are in need through no fault of their own and need your help. To the world, you may be one person, but to that person, you may be the world. Your donations provide meals, shelter, food, clothing, medical needs, and much more. 91% of your tax-deductible donations goes to the needs of the poor. We take no government funding and rely solely on your donations. To donate, go to sharingandcaringhands.org. May God bless you all.
Hey folks, it's Neil Freeman here, and it's that time. Time to get on the bus and head for Ballard's Resort for the Bob FM annual ice fishing trip. Once again this year, I'll be hosting the trip. It's January 26th through the 28th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And once again this year, one price gets it all done. You get round-trip coach transportation, 2 nights lodging, 2 days guided ice fishing, 7 meals, all your angling equipment, fish cleaning, sales and lodging tax, all included for just $470 per person. Just contact Ballard's Resort for all the details and get signed up. Again, the dates are January 26th through the 28th. We're headed to Ballard's Resort on Lake of the Woods to catch a whole bunch of fish and have a great time. Won't you join me? Go to ballardsresort.com, ballardsresort.com, or call 800-776-2675. We sell out every year, so get your friends together now and join me for the Bob FM ice fishing trip to Ballard's Resort, January 26th through the 28th.
Find the organization you can feel good about supporting. Reach for Resources supports individuals with disabilities and mental illness to reach their full potential. That means Joe can get help finding a competitive job. Beth can socialize at bowling league. Shayna can enhance her parenting skills. Ron can learn how to access needed resources. And Annie can feel included at camp with her young friends, just to name a few. While these names have been changed, our desire to empower others hasn't. Check out how you can help at reachforresources.org.
Total Country Bob FM. I brought one for you.
Oh, Hey, we're back. I guess we're back. We're talking with Katz Covers guy. And Bill Katz is with us, and welcome to Before Outdoorsman. Bill is in studio. He is our fourth outdoorsman tonight. How are you, friend?
Good, good. Thanks, guys, for the invite.
Yeah,
he's got a great radio voice.
He does have a great radio voice.
You'll have to join us.
Well, before the show, I was talking to my brother, and he said that I got a face for radio.
Yes, you do. I agree with your brother.
You know, and I'm not saying anything bad, but before you said that, I was just going to say, he's got the voice, and if you take a quick glance, like when I walked in, he kind of resembles Zepp just a little bit, right? Just a quick glance.
Don't tell Brian Zepp that.
Well, Zepp that had nothing to do with the face for radio, but I just remember he just kind of real quickly. So,
hey, Bill, tell us your background. What's going on with your life? Where are you from? How you started hunting?
Well, I'm from.
And then we'll talk about your products.
I'm from Oakdale. I've lived there for about 20 years now. Grew up in St. Paul. Just an East Side kid.
Whereabouts in East Side? I'm an East Side
right
guy.
By Battle Creek Playground.
Oh, that's where the rich kids were.
Nah.
Yeah, I was a Lake Phelan kind of guy. I was south of Maryland, off of Earl Street. So
that was the tough town.
Oh boy,
tough guy town.
I could run like a son of a gun, man.
No, I how I come up with this. My very first fish house I had 2000-ish. I lost. Remember when those little iPads first came out? The iPods, you could put all your music on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I had like 500 songs in there. Loved it. Yeah, well, it's in 35 feet of water on Pelican Lake, right? You know exactly where it's at.
And Bill is talking about something called Katz Covers, the name of his company. Well, the name of your product.
Yeah, the name of my...
Your BK Outdoors, right, is the name of your company?
That's the name of the company, BK Outdoors LLC.
Okay, yep.
And so that weekend went on. I lost a couple other things. And driving down the road for work one day, all of a sudden the proverbial light bulb went off. And I pulled over to the side of the road, and I drew something out, and I said, why isn't there something to sit over the hole to protect your stuff, but yet you can still fish out of? Went home that night, went to Menards, got some products, and designed a little prototype, and that's how it came out after that.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, it's funny. I bet every person who fishes, I bet at least 75% have lost something other than a fishing rod through the hole. And I was fishing Vermilion with my son Mike and a couple other guys years ago, about 10 years ago, and I just got my cell phone. It wasn't more than 2 or 3 days. And I was talking to Ted. No, I can't tell you the guy's name. I was placing a bet on some football game or something.
I didn't say his name.
My bookie. Anyway, I dropped the phone. It was one of those where you're juggling it for about 4 seconds, and it just lands in the water right down the hole, and all I could see was the light going all the way to the bottom. And that's on Vermilion. So everyone's done it. That's good for you, man.
Well, and I had a funny story to that. Last year for Ice Team University, we were up at Arneson's up there at Lake of the Woods. And the two girls were fishing that were helping out one night in one of the hard houses. And they had caught like a monster walleye, like a 28-inch walleye. And so they had it on film with their iPhone. And as they were filming it, they finally got the walleye up through the hole. And they were so excited that when they were grabbing it, it flipped over out of that hole and went down the next hole right next to them.
That's funny.
That would have been a great commercial for Katz Covers.
I'll tell you what, the stories that I heard are incredible. I mean, I could probably write a book. Not only from cell phones, car keys, glasses, to actual guys that use 10-inch holes, to their kids stepping in the holes.
Yeah, Oh yeah.
You know, with my covers on them, I've had a lot of weight on them. They will flex a little bit, but they will not break. I've sold over 60,000 of these so far, and I have yet for one to come back.
In 8 years, you've sold 60,000 Katz covers.
Yes.
Did you think when that proverbial light bulb, as you described, driving into work after you had lost your little iPod music player, did you ever think 8 years fast forward you would have sold 60,000 covers?
I didn't have a clue. I was talking earlier, the very first Blaine Ice Fishing Show, the very first Hard Water Show, probably when I first met you.
Yeah, that's when we met. Yep.
I talked to a guy from one of the major fish house vendors come over to me, and he asked me what my product was, and I told him. He looked at it, and he kind of laughed at it. He says, give me two. So I gave him two of them. He put them in his shack. He was kitty corner from me. He put him in his fish house, and people would literally walk out of his shack right to my booth. I completely sold out that first weekend.
Isn't it? Now, we're on radio. This is amazing. Katz cover. This is Bill Katz. He designed Katz covers. Try to describe it as much as you can. Then, we got to tell people how they can look at these, find them, and
sure,
buy them.
Sure.
But try to describe what you're talking about.
Well, what it is, it's basically in the fish houses, you've got the black covers. When you go to drill your hole, you pull that black cover off, you drill your hole, and you set my cover right on top. And obviously what that's going to do, it's going to protect all your stuff from going down the hole, but it's made out of a strong polycarbonate material.
And it's clear plastic. Clear, right?
Yep, and it's virtually unbreakable.
I would think, too, that it would help maybe keep your hole from freezing over.
Well, that all depends. People say, well, my hole's going to freeze over. It's like, well... It's got ventilation. There's ventilation holes in there, and it's easy to grab. Easy to put your fingers in and just grab it. Once you set the hook, one finger will pop it right out.
Perfect.
And good thing there's pegs on the bottom of it, and that's actual for stability, so it won't slide out of the hole if you were to slip.
It's always true that the best inventions are simple solutions to common problems, right?
And
I think that you really nailed it on this one. Why don't you talk? I found it interesting. A lot of guys have great ideas, and they're like, "Oh, I got to invent this or do that," but it's not easy, is it?
No. The process is really hard. I mean, yeah, they've got things on the internet you can go to check out for patent to eat,
right.
Get a patent on there. But you have to get a patent attorney, and it does cost you a few bucks out of your pocket. But as long as that product makes a return, well,
right.
You get your money back.
Well, and you got to protect yourself with a patent.
You got to protect yourself
because good ideas are copied.
They are. And my first couple of years coming out, I did have that problem, and I'm not the guy that's going to go sue happy. I'm just not going
right.
to. I'll just talk to him and say, hey, I've got my patent on this. Actually show it to them, and they're cool. Sorry, I didn't know this product was out there.
Cool.
What was the one thing, as Mark alluded to the fact that everyone has these great ideas after deer camp or their fishing trip, and then real world kicks in, wife, kids, work, and you kind of forget about it, right? What was the one thing, as you actually went down this journey and been quite successful, that you were surprised with?
I guess I was surprised with the response, how people really took to it. They kind of looked at my product and just went, yeah, I don't think so. And then basically the next year I'd see them at the show, because I only do the two shows. I've got, I do the Blaine Hardwater show and the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show.
Which is coming up this weekend.
Coming up
and
this
you'll be
weekend,
there, right?
I'm gearing up for that right now.
Do you know your booth number?
My booth number is 233.
233
right
for Katz
covers.
Right on
the main floor. On the main floor. And I guess the thing is, I'll see them people the next year. Hey, Bill, I met you last year.
I lost
that phone.
Yeah.
Can I get some covers from you? And lately, past few years, it's been, hey, my buddy's got those covers, and I really like them. Okay, here you go.
So where are you having these manufactured, and how many people are working for you?
I have the covers are manufactured in Ham Lake, Minnesota. Can I say the name of
the
guy?
Sure.
It's Mike Johnson with Ultra Acrylics. Great guy. Been doing business with him for 8 years. He sends me that product, and then what I do is I've got a jig at home in my garage, and I put the little tabs on them. I package them and ship them out. My daughter, my daughter does all my packaging now. She's home from college, or she's living with us, while she's going to college. So, gives her a little bit extra. So it's just me and my family.
The St. Paul Ice Show is the biggest one in the darn near in the entire country, from what I understand. I think that's the truth. And so there's going to be thousands of people coming to River Center, right?
It's in
the River
15
Center.
To 20 or 30,000 people.
How many of these cast covers are you going to have on hand?
I am going to have on hand, I'm probably going to have at least 1,000 covers
right.
this year. to bring with me.
So talk a little bit about the economics behind it. Not what it costs you to make, but they're affordable, right? Share with your listeners what
they're
what
they put it this way, they're $20, $19.95 on my website. And the good thing about that, you buy five of them, that's $100. What does one cell phone cost? You know, what does one set of car keys cost? Now you got to get the tow truck to come get your car off the ice, if they'll even come out on the ice to get it. You know, just stuff like that. And it's like, I wish I would have spent that $100.
Now, one question our listeners might have is there are various manufacturers for ice fishing hard houses, right?
Correct.
There's some big ones out there. Why don't you talk about the compatibility of the Cat's cover?
Okay, so you've got the major brand fish house is obviously Ice Castle. They're the leader in it.
Yep.
You've got all the other brands. Can I say those?
Yeah, go ahead.
We've got Lodge, we've got Glacier, you got Yetis. And the deal, and the Core Ice, and the deal with those, they use a product called a catch cover, which is the black ring and the cover that fits in the houses. And Ice Castle has their own style, which is called the Fishhole Buddy. And I've manufactured my covers to fit both of those products perfectly. And it just worked out.
So the Cat's cover is basically what you're sharing with our listeners on the 4 Outdoors and on Bob Country is compatible with all the big brands.
Yes.
And all some of the other brands that come
yes.
up.
Yes.
Cool. Cool.
What size is this one, the one I'm holding right now?
Well, that one cover will fit in. It's on the label there.
Yep.
I think that one fit with the catch cover with the sleeve, if I'm not. Yep, that's what that one is. And basically, it's the diameter of the hole. The catch covers are just a little bit smaller diameter than the fish hole buddies. And it all depends on where I set those tabs on the bottom side on the offset.
Oh, so this can be used for different sized holes is what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so all I really order from my manufacturer is the disc. And then, like I said, I've got the jig where I set all the little tabs in.
Wow. So you guys, Cat's covers are available online at catscover.com. I know you have the bkoutdoorsllc.com. Mm-hmm. They can find you at the Hardwater Expo or booth 233, coming up this weekend at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. But you're also available in some retailers that people know about too, right?
Yep. I picked up, matter of fact, this week I just picked up two new vendors. I got my first vendor out of South Dakota. Mainly I've been staying right in Minnesota, and that's what everybody says. Why don't you go out? Why don't you venture out? Well, right now it's keeping me busy just staying in Minnesota. Yeah.
And where does Bill Katz like to go ice fishing?
You don't have to give your...
You don't have to give up your hot spot. But any
actually,
particular...
actually, what do you probably like to fish one of my favorite spots is out on the St. Croix.
Yeah.
Out in Lake St. Croix, Bayport area.
Yeah.
It's nice and close to the house, and I can go out there and spend the weekend there. And with good thing with the river, you never know what you're going to catch in the river.
Yeah, yeah. Well, cool, cool. And then you have some other inventions, right?
I've got, the one that you're holding there, that is called the Cat's Cap. And what that is basically a dust cover for the 7-pin plug. They're not in any auto stores anywhere. A good friend of mine actually came up with this, wasn't sure what to do. So I purchased the patent and the molds from him, and I've been running with it ever since.
These are only about $10.
Those are $6.95.
Okay. Yeah.
$6.95 on my website. I come to the show, they're one for seven or two for ten. So it's throw little deals in.
Another great solution to a simple problem. That's what we love here.
Well, how about this? Don't you have, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you're also marketing an adjustable extension for ice augers?
I've got that product, and it's for the Ion ice augers because they've got the two extensions that come with their augers. One is a 12-inch, one's a 24-inch. Well, what this is actually, it's an adjustable 30-inch extension, and it fits right down inside the auger itself, and you can adjust it to 6-inch increments. So if the ice is thicker, pull the pin out, lift it up, put the pin back in.
That's slick.
And I'll tell you, for the fish house, for being inside the fish houses, that's the way to go. Yeah. No more monkeying around with nuts and bolts. Just pull the pin, and you're good to go.
And that's your design as well?
Right.
Well, you're a smart human being.
Well... I do all right.
You're not as good.
Like well, there it was. Well, Bill Katz, thank you for being a partner of the Four Outdoorsmen. Don't forget to check out Bill at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show this weekend with Katz covers. What a really cool invention.
Thanks, guys.
Cool.
Thanks to Bill Katz. Thanks to Jason Mitchell. Papa Luki's here. Everybody else is here as well. But we're going to tell you what. Be safe this weekend. There's snow on the ice. It's not as hard as everyone thinks it is. Please be safe because we want you as listeners next week. And Boomer's got something to say.
Papa Luki, Sky You Ma, and get outdoors.